Shila Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki Jai. Today is his holy appearance day. We'll speak a few words about that, but before we do so, we'll speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, texts number 40 through 42. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato jayamudirayet nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishne svadhamo pagate Dhanamagnanadipisaha Kalau nashtadrishamesha Puranarko dhunodita. I'm just going to read texts 40 and 41. And 42 is on the board, so we'll chant that together. Text number 40. Antarvatnim upalakshya devim saprayayau purim punastatra gato abhyante urvashim viramataram. Understanding that Urvashi was pregnant, Pururava returned to his palace. At the end of the year, there at Kurukshetra, he again obtained the association of Urvashi, who was then the mother of a heroic son. We may recall yesterday, she said, Aparani, there will be others, means other children. You can come once a year and see me, and we can have children, it seems, once a year. So that's what he's referring to here. And Vira Mataram is another significant term here. First of all, let's finish reading these verses. Upalabhya mudayuktaha samuvasatayanisham. Athainam Urvashi Praha Kripanam Virahaturam. Having regained Urvashi at the end of the year, King Pururava was most jubilant, and he enjoyed her company in sex for one night. But then he was very sorry at the thought of separation from her, so Urvashi spoke to him as follows. Kindly repeat, Gandharavan. Upadhava iman tubhyam dasyanti mam iti samstuvataha. I'm sorry, tasya samstuvataha tushta agnisthalim dadoho nripa urvashim manyamanaha tam Saha abhidhyata charan vane gandharvan upadhave mams tubhyam dasyanti mamiti tasya samstuvata stushta agnesthalim dadur nrpa urvashim manyamanastam so buddhyata charanvane gandharvan. Unto the gandharvas upadhava, go take shelter. Iman, these, tupyam, unto you. Dasyanti, will deliver. Mam iti, exactly like me. Or, me factually. Tasya, by him. Samstuvataha, offering prayers. Tushtaha, being satisfied. Agnisthalim, a girl produced from fire. Dadoham, delivered. Nripa, O king. Urvashim, Urvashi. Manyamanaha, thinking. Tam, her. Saha, he. Pururva, abuddhyata, understood factually. Charan, while walking. Vane, in the forest. Translation. Urvashi said, my dear king, seek shelter of the Gandharvas, for they will be able to deliver me to you again. In accordance with these words, the king satisfied the Gandharvas by prayers, and the Gandharvas, being pleased with him, gave him an Agnisthali girl, who looked exactly like Urvashi. Thinking that the girl was Urvashi, the king began walking with her in the forest, but later he could understand that she was not Urvashi, but Agnisthali. Please repeat. Urvashi said, my dear king, seek the shelter of the Gandharvas, for they will be able to deliver me to you again. In accordance with these words, the king satisfied the Gandharvas by prayers, and the Gandharvas, being pleased with him, gave him an Agnisthali girl who looked exactly like Urvashi. Thinking that the girl was Urvashi, the king began walking with her in the forest. But later he could understand that she was not Urvashi, but Agnisthali. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Pururava was very lusty. Immediately after getting the Agnisthali girl, he wanted to have sex with her. But during sexual intercourse, he could understand that the girl was not Agnisthali, not Urvashi. This indicates that every man attached to a particular woman knows the particular characteristics of that woman during sex life. Thus, Pururava understood during sexual intercourse that the Agnisthali girl was not Urvashi. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lankhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripasintubhya Ivacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The continuing saga. This chapter seems full of all sorts of affairs. So here we find Pururavas can understand that she is pregnant. Antarvatnim means she has a child in the womb, and punastatra gato abdante urvashim vira mataram. He went there again to see her, as per her promise, he was really attached. And she was at that point Vira Mataram. Vira Mataram. She was the mother of a hero. I'm going to read from a new translation of Peri Alwar's Tamil hymns. The author writes in explanation of these hymns, "It is said that a mother might give birth to a child, but before that, a child gives birth to a mother. The girl, a doted daughter of a mother, grows into womanhood, becomes the loving wife of a husband, and attains fulfillment of the purpose of her creation when she transforms into the totally dedicated mother on the birth of her baby. A woman carries inside her the baby for 9 months, in her arms for 3 years, and in her heart until the day she dies. Motherhood ki jai." So she has become a mother of a hero, ironically. In so many ways, we can say this is not really an ideal relationship, but the Bhagavatam is full of irregularities, unbelievable occurrences, improper things. As we said, this chapter is just full of illicit affairs. So, and even in the heavenly planets, gods and sages are tormented by sex desire. This is the result. So we've already heard about Soma and his escapades, poor Brihaspati. Here we have, now it is Puravas, his turn to suffer. Because we know from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, and elsewhere, passion in particular, its primary characteristic is that in the beginning it is just like nectar, and in the end, what happens? Vishamiva, it turns into poison. We've heard very nicely described in recent days by Radharaman Maharaj, by Rohini Sutta Prabhu, by Shubha Krishna Prabhu, and others. All that has been said, so we won't dilate on this too much, but Upalabhyamudayuktaha, he was ecstatic and started to display ecstatic symptoms, anticipating sense gratification when he regained the association of Urvashi. Tayanisham, that particular night. Atta means then, after that, Urvashi, she evidently felt some compassion on this poor fool who is described here as Kripanam Virahaturam. Very significant words here. We know this from Bhagavad Gita as well. Anybody know where this verse appears in Bhagavad Gita? Kripana? It's in many places it appears. Krishna tells Arjuna, I'm thinking of text 49. Durena hyavaram karma buddhiyogad dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvichya kripanaha phalahetavaha. Anybody who is trying to enjoy the fruits of his activities is actually a small-minded person. Kripana means a small-minded person. And it's often contrasted with brahmana, the person who's able to think broadly. So he's depicted here as Kripana and Virahaturam. In another section of the Bhagavatam, we actually have the perfection of this idea. Viraha Aturam, distressed by separation. It's stated in Canto 10, chapter 39, text number 31. Evam bruvana virahatura prisham vrajastriya krishna vishakta manasaha visrijila jamrudusmasuswaram govinda damodara madhaveti. At the time that Akura came to take the two boys out of Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram, the gopis were completely stunned and completely out of their minds. They decided, let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us? Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association even for a fraction of a second. When he brought us to the assembly of the Ras Dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances, and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. O gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? How can we exist without Ananta's friend, Krishna, who in the evening would return to Vraja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds by his smiling, sidelong glances. Shukdev Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Vraja, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. And with that, they sealed their fate because they revealed what was the nature of their relationship. Up until that time, it was secret. So this is really what Viraha Atura is meant for. And here in the Bhagavatam, we find examples both of what we should be and what we maybe are now. Do we fall into the gopis category or do we fall into Puruva's category? That you don't have to answer. Everybody can consider the ramifications. So there are many things that can be said here. Some uvasa, little bit obscure term here. Vijayadwaj Tirtha says it means sambhoga lakshanam suratam anubhutavan. This makes it very clear, although the only thing mentioned here is that they're walking in the forest, but it's understood that if you're walking in the forest with an extremely beautiful woman, it's already illicit sex. So there's not really much need to explicate things further than that, but just to make it clear to us, Vijayadwaj Tirtha has said as much. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's summarizing. It's an interesting thing because we have a few things to consider here. Agnisthali. What is Agnisthali, or who is Agnisthali? There are different opinions about this. Most of the acharyas commenting on this verse, they prefer to say that Agnisthali is a particular vessel in which the sacred fire can be kept. And that sacred fire itself is the means by which one can do a yajna and attain to Urvashi's place. Malloka prapnoti, she says. So, and it seems the demigods here, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, he says, Tushta Gandharva, that the Gandharvas who were pleased, anena agnina karma kritva tadvashad urvashi prapsyatiti abhiprayena agnisthalim daduhu. They gave him this agnisthali with the intention that he would be able to gain urvashi again after having performed this yajna. But satu urvashyam atyaveshat kamantas tam sthalim eva urvashim manyamanas. He considered that sthali itself was actually urvashi. Why? Because he was kamantha, blinded with lust, and urvashyam atyaveshat, totally absorbed in urvashi. Exactly what we should be regarding Krishna. So these are many, many lessons in this whole passage to be learned. Many, many, many lessons we've been hearing recently. But he continues, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Urvashim manyamana, manyamanas tayasa hitovane vicharan. He went with her into the forest, or with it into the forest, Sangha samaye neyam urvashi kintu agnisthalim tiyabuddhita. So he finally realized at the time of Sangha, Sangha here means really close association, if you know what I mean. So then at that point he could understand everything. So therefore Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, he's taking this agnisthali to be an actual girl, not just some sacrificial vessel. And he's consistent in that interpretation, so there's really no question about it. It's kind of like once when the sun god was too bright for his wife. Who is the wife of the sun god? That's later. Who is the first wife of the sun god? Sandhya. She couldn't handle her husband's effulgence, so she had to go and stay with her parents for some time. But she didn't want to disregard her duty. One should never disregard one's duty. So she created a facsimile of herself. Facsimile means chaya. And she left this chaya in her place to do everything for the husband. But the children could also understand. It's not just Madhurya Rasa, it's also in Vatsalya Rasa. The children could understand. She's not treating us the same way that Mata usually treats us. Anyway, it's a long story. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it seems as if that's what's happening here. She's created some copy of herself, or maybe the demigods. It's interesting. Mam iti. Tubhyam dasyanti mam iti. She clearly says, you will get me, mom. But iti implies quotes, like in English. We have, you'll get, quote, me, end quote. So it's kind of in some doubt. So is she cheating? Is she lying? Given what we've heard in the previous verses, one could easily conclude that. Or is it the Gandharvas who are cheating again? Because remember, they're the ones who created this problem for him in the first place. Indra wants her back in the heavenly planets. So they created this brightness and he was exposed, literally, and therefore, she said the deal is off. And now he's brokenhearted. We should not end up like Puruvas. This is the lesson. If there's a take home from this, all the acharyas say in so many ways. Sridhar Swami says, Indriya Vasha Mam Bhaved. Ma Bhaved, sorry. Ityartha. The idea is that one should not come under the control of the senses. And where do we hear this in Bhagavad Gita? Tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita matvaraha vashehi yasyendriyani tasya prajna pratishtita. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. So many places in Bhagavad Gita this term is used, vasha. Vasha means to come under someone or something's control. A person who is indriya vasha should be the person who has controlled his senses, not the person who is under the control of those senses. If we are under the control of our senses, then we end up suffering like hell, in exactly the same way that Puruvas is suffering here. All right, so that's what Sridhar Swami says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Back in verse number 35, he says, Purushositi na pungsatka lakshana madhairyam tyajeti bhava. The idea here is, she's telling him that you should give up this instability, because this instability that you're showing, mental agitation over me, is more characteristic of the napungsakas, not heroes. He's supposed to be a hero. Purushosi, you're supposed to be a man. But man means he's able to control this. This is the qualification for being a male. Males have the ability to control this. So it is their responsibility. And therefore, we can reiterate what we've already heard from Sridhar Swami in the same passage. Vrka, she's saying, beware of the sly foxes. Who are those foxes? Okay, Srila Prabhupada does emphasize women can be cunning like foxes. But, Sridhar Swami says, it can also refer to one's own senses. And we are in control of our senses. Or at least we're supposed to be in control of our own senses. So this is the idea. One should not come under the control of those senses. Purushendriyanam klibyatvena tadadhinam tadadhinatvam ayuktam iti bhava. Another commentator says, for a person to be under the control of the senses, this is eunuch behavior. Again, not really a man. So these are some of the ideas here in this passage. I'm going to stop now because we want to hear nectar about Srila Advaitacharya. There's enough of this sordid affair we've been hearing. Of course, we need to hear it. It's beneficial for us. Always beneficial. One of the commentators on this passage says, the reason there is not more illicit sex in society is only because we hear such passages like this, to the extent that we hear these things. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, we find in chapter 6, the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya are described. I'd also like to share one shloka that's attributed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about Advaita Acharya. He says, Ganga tire tad payobhistulasyaha patrehi pushpehi premahunkara ghoshaihi prakatyartham gaudam aradhayadyaha Srila Advaita Acharyam etam prapadye. I take shelter of this Srila Advaita Acharya, who worshipped Lord Chaitanya for the purpose of causing him to appear in this world. How did he worship him? He worshipped him with tulasi leaves, with flowers, and with loud shouts of prema. On the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip, he's worshipping only with little milk and tulasi leaves. We know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also been stated, tulasi, what is that verse? Dalamatrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite samatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. The Lord is able to sell himself to a devotee who is in pure love, offering him even one small tulsi leaf. The Lord is so much inclined to his devotees. Bhaktavatsala. So, Advaita Acharya is the example of that. And this is the first thing that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says in glorification of Advaita Acharya. This is naturally, we're all so much indebted to Advaita Acharya for bringing Lord Chaitanya here. Without Lord Chaitanya, we're all finished. No one has any chance in this Kali Yuga. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya's message we've received from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So we're all forever indebted to His Divine Grace as well. The truth of Advaita Acharya has been described in two verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he goes on to say that material nature has two features, namely the upadan and the nimitta karana. That means the material cause of something and the efficient cause of something. This is widespread throughout all philosophies, in India at least, this idea. And just as he says here, the efficient causal activities are caused by Mahavishnu and the material causal activities are caused by another form of Mahavishnu known as Advaita. That Advaita, the superintendent of the cosmic manifestation, has descended in the form of Advaita Acharya to associate with Lord Chaitanya. When he is addressed as the servitor of Lord Chaitanya, his glories are magnified, because unless one is invigorated by this mentality of servitorship, one cannot understand the mellows derived from devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Vande tam Srimad Advaita Acharyam Adhuta Cheshtitam Yasya Prasadad Agnyopi Tatsvarupam Nirupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In five verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks now, I have described the principle of Lord Nityananda. Then in the following two verses, I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. What is the first verse? Mahavishnur Jagat Karta Mayaya Yasrajati Adaha Tasyavatara Evayam Advaita Acharya Ishwaraha. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Advaitam Harina Advaita Acharyam Bhakti Shamsanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaita Acharyam Ashraye. This is the second verse. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, Bhaktavatara. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of God himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy, he creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Srila Prabhupada writes a very nice purport in this connection. He says, Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditional life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. Here it's stated in the text. Mangala Charitra Shala, Mangala Jara Nam. Krishnadas Kaviraj has told us this. Mangala. And another name, anybody knows? Advaita's another name? Mangala, Advaita Acharya, and? Nara, you can say, unofficial name. One more name. no, there's so many names you can say. Sitapati is, cannot argue. But he's also specifically mentioned here as Kamalakara or Kamalachara. Okay. He's never to be considered material. He is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. As the causal incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. His activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnation. Koti Ansha, Koti Shakti, Koti Avatara, Eti Lanya Srije Purusha Shakale Shangshar. Okay, now I'm going to skip ahead a few verses because there's a lot of technical information and a very important purport. Text 14 and 15 you can read in your own time, but our time is limited, so I have to move on. Sri Advaita, who is reservoir of all virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he's identical in all respects with that Lord. As he had formerly created all the universes, now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Since he has no other occupation than to teach devotional service, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is the spiritual master of all devotees and the most revered personality in the world. By a combination of these two names, his name is Advaita Acharya. Purport. Sri Advaita Acharya is the prime spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, and he is worshipable by all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas must follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, for by doing so one can actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Dayakaro Sitapati Advaita Goshai Tavakripa Bolipai Chaitanyanitai. If we get his mercy, then we get the mercy of Chaitanyanitai. Okay, since he is a limb or a part of the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, he also bears the name Kamalaksha. We've said. His associates have the same bodily features as the Lord. They all have four arms and are dressed in yellow garments like Narayana. I just came from South India, and everywhere you go in South India, you will find big Mahavishnu lying this way, big Mahavishnu lying that way. This is Advaita Acharya. Sri Ranganath, he's not different. Sri Rangadika Rupena Vyapyam Trailokya Tishtati. The Lord appears in so many forms throughout his creation. He pervades his creation by his incarnations and his many, many forms. One of which is Sri Ranganath, another of which is Advaita. They're the same. Sri Advaita Acharya is the principal limb of the Supreme Lord. His truths, names, and attributes are all wonderful. He worshipped Krishna with tulasi leaves and water of the Ganges and called for him in a loud voice. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on earth accompanied by his personal associates. It is through him, Advaita Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement and through him that he delivered the world. The glory and attributes of Advaita Acharya are unlimited. How can insignificant living entities fathom them? Sri Advaita Acharya is a principal limb of Lord Chaitanya. Another limb of the Lord is Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees headed by Srivas are his smaller limbs. They are like his hands, face, and eyes, and his disc and other weapons. With all of them, Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, and with them, he spread his mission. Now, he launches into a large discussion that thinking that Advaita Acharya Prabhu is disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya obeys him, respecting him like his spiritual master. To maintain proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. Lokika lilate dhanama maryada rakshana stuti bhakti karen tana charana bandhan. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master, and he thinks of himself as the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Goshai ke Acharya kare prabhu gyan, apnake karen tana dash abhiman. He forgets himself in the joy of that conception and teaches all living entities, you are the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Advaita Acharya. The conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy that in the soul, that even the joy of oneness with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, cannot compare to a drop of it. Anyone know the verse? Brahmananda Bhaveresha, famous verse. But he doesn't quote it here, so we won't. He says, Advaita, Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. Nowhere else is there such joy as that which is tasted in this emotion of servitude. The most beloved goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Sri Krishna, yet she too, earnestly praying, begs for the joy of service at his lotus feet. So everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. Only when we become absorbed deeply in this mood can the sweetness of Krishna be revealed. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is to be tasted only through the sentiment of servitude. This is text number 103, same chapter. The conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees. Shastra siddhanta eva jnana anubhav. Because there's nothing in Shastra except experience. Think about it. Yes Shastra, what is that? Yaswanubhavam akhila shruti saram ekam. Whatever Shukadev Goswami is sharing with us in the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but what he has personally experienced. That is its power. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrikarna rasayana katha tajoshanat ashwapavargavarasmini shraddharatir bhaktirana kramishyati. We advance from initial stages of faith. What is the initial stage of faith? You're just curious. What is this book all about? Let me open it up and see what Prabhupada says. That curiosity is some degree of initial faith. That faith should lead us to the proper association, because the association of devotees is glorified ubiquitously throughout Srila Prabhupada's writings. Once we associate with devotees, then we're engaged in bhajana kriya, such as hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord. And that purifies us. Then, when we become on that level of increased purity, then faith again comes in, dvitiya sadhu sangha. Again, there's a process of sadhu sangha in which we seek out the association of the more advanced devotees. Satam prasangat mama virya samvida, Krishna says, Kapila Dev says. In that kind of association, then these topics take on special nectar. They take on certain irresistible attractiveness. That doesn't happen unless we're hearing from the devotees who are tasting, pure devotees. Devotees whose paraspara sambhashanam, mutual discussions of Krishna consciousness, is so obviously experiential and powerful that we cannot help but become attracted to it. That is the power of satsanga. And Advaita Acharya is meant to teach us what is the ecstasy of diving deep and deeper and deeper into this attitude of servitude. He displays this attitude for that reason only. So the conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees. Fools and rascals, however, cannot understand the opulence of devotional emotions. Murha loka nahi jane bhavera vaibhav. From anarjanavritti we get nishtas, solid, fixity, not like pururavas. Adhairyam, it was used. The word adhairyam means no constancy. But when we become fixed in devotional service, then what happens? Nishtha. Then we get a real gleam of, some glimmer of ruchi, real taste. Not the initial taste of curiosity that brought us into the Bhagavatam, but the very strong taste, irresistible taste, that draws us deeper within to this virya samvit, what Krishna calls virya samvit, very powerful narrations about him. Then that ruchi turns into asakti, addiction. Cannot stop hearing, cannot stop chanting. No question, it is impossible. Asakti. And then bhava. So we're here, we're talking about bhavir vaibhav, the opulences of bhava bhakti. It's inconceivable to the outside persons. What is it? Krishna says in chapter 15, yatanto, just now it's escaping me. Those who are following this discipline, they understand all this clearly. But those who are not applying these teachings, they can't figure it out even if they study hard. This is the difference. Yatanto yoganashtainam pasyanti atmanyavastitam yatanto pratatmano nainam pasyanti chetasaha. Okay. All right, so it looks like we're out of time. But Baladev, Lakshmana, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, Lord Shesh, and Lord Sankarshan taste the nectary and mellows of transcendental bliss of Lord Krishna by recognizing themselves as being his devotees and servants. This dasya bhava permeates every other rasa. Even madhuri rasa is actually permeated by dasya. Dasya is the substrate, you can say, in some ways, of devotional rasas. So, even Krishna himself becomes thirsty to taste his own sweetness that we've seen. All right, so this, all the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There's no higher bliss than this. The original Bhakta avatar is Sankarshan, Sri Advaita is counted among such incarnations. The glories of Sri Advaita Acharya are boundless, for his sincere vibrations brought about Lord Chaitanya's descent upon this earth. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtana. The word was used earlier. Bhakti Shamsana means to praise the process of bhakti. This is what Advaita Acharya did in Navadvip. And as a result, it's gone all over the world through Srila Prabhupada's agency. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtana. Thus the people of the world receive the treasure of love of Godhead through the mercy of Sri Advaita. Who can describe the unlimited glories of Advaita Acharya? I write here as much as I have known from great authorities. I offer my obeisances 10 million times to the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. Please do not take offense at this. Your glories are as fathomless as millions of oceans and seas. Speaking of its measure is a great offense indeed. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya, all glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the superior Lord Nityananda. Thus in two verses I have described the truth concerning Advaita Acharya. Now, O devotees, please hear about the five truths, Panchatattva. That is in the next chapter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. Do we have time for questions or comments? If anyone has anything, yes, Sagar Maharaj. I just speak loudly, I'll repeat it.
It's a little confusing in Bhagavatam about the identity of Sankarshan, because sometimes he's equated to Ananta Shesh, but in other places in Bhagavatam he appears to be a separate person.
So, it appears to be confusing because Sankarshan is sometimes identified as Ananta Shesh throughout the Bhagavatam, and sometimes he's regarded as a separate person. Well, they are after all the same. They're all the same. All the Lord and Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. So, you know, it is not incorrect to say. In fact, it is the most accurate thing to say, to make the very bold claim that there is nothing in the Srimad Bhagavatam but constant contradiction. This has to be so. It can only be so, because the very nature of the Absolute Truth is achintya bheda bheda. So, you know, every once in a while, our small intelligence, partial intelligence, is struck by contradictions of this sort. We need not worry too much about it. They're all non-different. That's the immediate answer I can give on this topic. Otherwise, I'm sure you can dig up some sort of esoteric answer somewhere, but the real point is this. Advaita Acharya, who is non-different from Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, mind you. Now, how do you reconcile that? Again, it's an achintya bheda bheda. So his mood is to dive into the ocean of servitude, dasya bhava. And this is what he teaches, therefore this is what we should also aspire to today and every day. Here in Vrindavan especially, we can take shelter of Advaita Acharya Prabhu's lotus feet and pray for this. Give me this dasya bhav. Give me this attraction and the ecstasy that you feel. Here in Vrindavan, you have such an opportunity. We may not live another 5 minutes. Do it now. Today. You can visit his places, Madan Gopal Terano. So, Advaita Acharya Ki Jai. Any other questions? Any other comments? Yes. We don't have a microphone, so George Se Bolie.
In your experience, what's the best thing you can say to someone who doesn't recognize the authority of the Vedas?
In my experience, what is the best thing to tell someone who doesn't recognize the authority of the Vedas? Well, it's twofold. You kind of have to... The first thing that has to happen is that the person is... Everyone has faith. Everyone has 100% faith. That is, we should establish at the very outset. Everybody has full faith, but their full faith is invested in various different things. That's the problem. So, we find out what that person does have faith in and point out that how exactly the faith is ill-placed. And you, of course, have to be very tactful about this, because people who don't have faith in Krishna, I mean, in Krishna consciousness, they, you know, it can only hurt.
It's one of the 10 offenses also.
It's also one of the 10 offenses to, you know, try to preach to people who are faithless or lacking faith even. So that has to be done very carefully. Generally, what Prabhupada does is point out the inadequacies of so-called authorities in this world, and he does this ad infinitum throughout his books. There is no one, as far as my experience goes, since you're asking, there is no one who demonstrates the fearlessness that Prabhupada has done by attacking modern scientists, for example, by popular misconceptions about life and about, you know, so many things. Srila Prabhupada is not afraid to poke holes in all of these things. So that's one thing that has to happen. And then the second thing is a little bit more touchy because it requires greater adhikar on our own parts. In chapter 6, text 32 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, he considers the greatest yogi to be that person who's able to empathize with all others. Atma upam yena sarvatra. So to have empathy is not something that you can really practice, is it? It's something that comes as a blessing from God. And it generally is produced as well from experience and maturity, age. But nonetheless, to whatever degree we can empathize with our audience, we can present to that audience Krishna consciousness. And the best way to do this, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is example. Do not even get didactic. Don't even try pedagogy. Just set a proper example and people will notice. If you're not suffering the way that they're suffering, people notice. How do you do it? Eventually, that's that curiosity, as I said, that's the initial stage of sadhu sangha or faith. That will kick in. So that's a little bit of a tall order, as I said. You know, it takes some time. But the more that we're connected with this process and the more that we're advancing, the sooner we can be able to do that. Shubha Krishna Prabhu wants me to repeat this point. One thing is you demonstrate the inadequacy of whatever so-called authorities a person may have faith in. That's step number one. Step number two, you have to inspire that person to listen to what you're saying. And the best way to do that is not by words, but by action. People can see the way that when devotees first joined ISKCON, way back in 1965-66, this scholar, I think it was Thomas Hopkins, he came to visit 26 Second Avenue, and he could not put it together that how come these people seem to know nothing about Lord Chaitanya. He asked somebody about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they said, never heard of him. You know? He could not understand how to reconcile the fact that these people were absolutely devoted to Krishna consciousness and at the same time almost absolutely ignorant of it. Until he met Srila Prabhupada. Then he could understand. This is the glue that holds everything together, and what is the potency in Prabhupada's association? Swanubhava, his own experience. Prabhupada had direct realization through his own personal experience. So that devotional association is the main thing. Tadeva sadhyatam. Tadeva sadhyatam. Narad Muni says in his Narad Bhakti Sutra. Twice he repeats himself. You should strive for that association. Strive for that association. And then we become that association. Then when we interact with someone who is in need of Krishna consciousness, we are actually able to make a difference. Because our Krishna consciousness is real. And this is the point. Shraddharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. Kramataha. It has to go step by step, but it does. That's what I can say off the top of my head. Is it a satisfactory answer? One more. I said experience, but realization and experience are two very closely related, but still different things. Swanubhava, personal experience. I'm having trouble hearing you. You have to speak louder. I pointed out in today's verse, most of the acharyas are identifying Agnistali as being a sacrificial vessel in which to store the sacred fire. And yet, Prabhupada, by all appearances, as far as I can see, Prabhupada is taking the Agni's Thali to be, actually be a person, a girl that the Gandharvas had produced and given to Maharaj Aila. So, your question in a nutshell is, when you find two authorities who disagree, say things that can't really be reconciled, then who do you follow? My answer is that we always follow His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And that's that. Because who's pulling you out of this material world and taking you back to Godhead? Just to put it in context. So, you're asking Prabhupada's disciple this question, so I'm giving you the answer of Prabhupada's disciple. Maybe somebody else can give you a different answer. It doesn't really matter to me. But this is my answer. Is it okay? Okay. Gopal Prabhu has given his imprimatur. It's the best answer, he says. So, we have it on his authority. All right, we should stop now. Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande.